Welcome to the GenCast Network. Created every Thursday, GenCasts feature the latest biotech news of the week, plus compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. In this week's GenCast, Gen's Editor-in-Chief John Sterling talks with Dan Perry from the Alliance of Aging Research about the societal implications of advances in biomedical research.
Dan Perry is the Executive Director of the not-for-profit Alliance for Aging Research. Based in Washington, D.C., his organization is one of the nation's leading advocacy groups for promoting medical and behavioral research to improve the health and independence of older Americans. Dan's background spans a wide range of health policy, governmental, political, and journalistic experience. Dan, looking at the next 25 to 50 years, what do you think the major contributions of biomedicine will be toward improving human health, and how will this impact society as a whole?
Biomedical research gives us the tools that we will need to confront two tremendous challenges to human health over the next half century. And I will speak more about one than the other. But the first is the emergence of new microbes, new infectious diseases that are being fueled by globalization and rapid international travel, SARS, bird flu, and new microbial threats that are yet to come. We're going to have innovations from research and new insights from biotechnology to protect our populations from that. But what I would like to talk more about is while that is somewhat speculative as to what will hit us and when, we know that the aging of our population in the U.S., in North America, in Europe, Japan, and elsewhere in the developed world, we're seeing an unprecedented increase in the number of older people, far beyond anything that has ever been seen in human history. We're on our way to nearly a quarter of our population living beyond the age of 65, half of that population over 75. And the impact of diseases that occur most often among older people, from type 2 diabetes to cancer, cardiovascular disease, Alzheimer's and other neurodegenerative diseases, presents what we call a silver tsunami that could just destroy healthcare financing efforts across the board and dramatically reduce people's quality of life. And on that front, we simply have to have new discoveries from the life sciences to be able to confront that unprecedented and historic aging of our population.
Now, picking up on that, if biotech does indeed lead to a greatly expanded but healthy elderly population, what will be some of the specific implications for the environment, the economy, Social Security, and other systems that have finite boundaries and limitations?
Well, I think the greatest threat that we face is not from a larger population of older people per se, but the potential of that population being significantly disabled because of their encounters with neurodegenerative, cardiovascular, cancer, and other diseases that can take them out of the productive part of the economy and cause tremendous caregiver burdens, both for public and private agencies. The elderly are with us. They are the baby boom generation and those a bit older. They are not some invading alien force that's going to arrive on our shores. They are us. They are here and now. The question is, will people navigate their way through their 70s, 80s, and 90s in reasonably good health, able to care for themselves and for others, with the ability to be productive members of their families and of their communities, or will they be a largely disabled and dependent population? That's the key question, and that's where biotechnology and advances from medical science will have a large role to play.
Okay, now most people, I think, take it as a given that advances in biomedicine are good in and of themselves. And to some extent, I think you've addressed this next question, but others argue that there are potential drawbacks to these advances. Can you talk about what some people view as the negative impacts of bioresearch? And again, particularly the long-term effect on society?
Well, first of all, let's recognize that that we are all infected to some degree by a prejudice known as ageism. We do not view old age in a positive light, and this is the result of eons of seeing those few, relatively few people in the past that made it to advanced age as people that were had lost their ability to function. They were quite sick, and we have a very negative attitude. So when we talk about redesigning the aging process so that more people will experience health and vitality in their 80s and 90s and some beyond, we view that with skepticism. Also, it's a fear of the unknown. We're talking about advances in later years of life that will really change what it's like to be an 85 or a 90-year-old. We can look at that positively, but oftentimes this touches deep undercurrents of fear that there'll be too many older people, they'll overwhelm us with their need for services, that the costs of new medications that come from biotechnology will cripple the economy, and there are, as we've seen in the stem cell fight, religious and ideological oppositions to some of the new frontiers in regenerative medicine. But I believe what far overrides those concerns, which I think are relatively minority concerns, is the possibility of people living long and living well and being able to contribute to their communities, and actually, which I think believe would hold down some of the otherwise costs of health care and long-term care.
Okay, again, talking about the potential benefits of biomedical research and new drugs, how would you respond to the point made by some that more dollars should be directed toward preventative health programs and societal needs and away from biomedical research funding and new drug development?
The argument has been made by Dr. Daniel Callahan and some others for many years that we are, as a society, spending too much on healthcare, spending too much on new technologies that they see as benefiting a few and perhaps unbalancing other social needs. I think a more persuasive case is made by Nobel economist Dr. Robert Fogel and others that point out that what advanced societies do once they have satisfied basic needs for food and shelter and so on is to experience longer lifespans and better lifespans and invest greater in medicine, healthcare, and leisure. That's not something that we should be ashamed about. In fact, if we don't make those investments, we otherwise will see the gift of longer life turned into a nightmare of, indeed, older people that do not have the ability to take care of themselves and be productive. But an older person that is healthy benefits us in many ways. Those that are able to continue work pay taxes on their earnings. They defer the drawdown on Social Security. They, as consumers, they circulate dollars for goods and for leisure spending. And a healthier older person requires less than 1/7 of the services paid by Medicare than an unhealthy, ill older person does. So it's a win-win. It helps our economy by infusing it with high technology and with drawing our best minds to come forward, and it benefits us as an aging population by allowing more people to live well as and also live long.
Now, taking all those points into view, my final question is, what can the bio industry do to make certain that the benefits of bioresearch outweigh any possible negative impacts, some of which you've discussed?
The life sciences have a terrific story to tell, but they need to be they need to understand that there are some in society that are fearful of the unknown and of some of the profound powers that will come to our society as we are able to affect the course of life and the quality of life. There are legitimate bioethical issues about access to new and in many cases very expensive but profoundly beneficial new technologies. I think biotechnology and those that look forward to what it has to bring society need to be ready to go into where public policy is being made, engage the arguments over bioethics, about equity, about justice, and be part of the big debate about bioethics, knowing that that those of us that support biotechnology hold a better hand.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, be sure to visit our website at www.genengnews.com. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next Thursday.